Next week will be Blood in the Saddle with Dan. On another announcement note, I wanted to point out that I will be in the Soul Spectacular event presented by the East Van Soul Club and CITR over at the Grandview Legion. That is on Saturday, April the 30th at 8:30. And it's featuring two DJs, including myself from here and DJ Ian West. I've had him on the show actually as a guest. And of the East Van Soul Club and of Mr. M and the All-Nighters, who will be playing alongside Jackie Treehorn and somebody else, says TBA. Also, a special presentation of the hit movie Soul Boy is going to be going on. So doors open at the Grandview Legion at 8:30. That is 2205 commercial, and it's in the auditorium. The tickets are $10 in advance via PayPal or at Bone Rattle Music on Commercial Drive. And they're $15 at the door. So that's April 30th for the Soul Spectacular, 8:30, Grandview Legion, 2205 Commercial Drive, DJed by yours truly, DJ JC Cola, I'm listed as, which is my moniker on Facebook, and DJ Ian West of the East Van Soul Club. And there'll be Mr. M and the All-Nighters, Jackie Treehorn, to be announced, plus a special presentation of the hit movie Soul Boy. So do check that out. That's coming out April 30th, so at the end of the month. And, you know, months go very quickly these days, so get your tickets while they're hot. Queer FM Arts Extra is coming up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to go out with another track, but I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. So until then, this is Peggy Scott and JoJo Benson, Lover's Holiday.
With a grin, the kind of eyes that welcome you the minute you walk in, a tender glance you simply can't refuse. At times like this, a girl could use a dog. People, you can teach him how to stay. And if the world is giving you the blues, he cheers you up by chewing up the news. It's things like that make you choose a dog. The people need romance, dancing, playing around. Other people need constant fun. Well, I'm not one. I have my feet on the ground. Give me a quiet night. Tuna melt on rye, a simple walk together underneath the starry sky, and suddenly the night is something rare, and all because there's someone special there who's gazing. His head upon your shoes. It's times like this I sure could use a dog.
And that was a rather slow start to to Queer FM Arts Extra High. I'm Aiden Saint, and we have Justin Saint here on the mic.
Hello, everyone.
We
have Clement C. Blaze.
And I'm Samantha Mack.
Hi.
And there's Samantha Mack. Well, we're going to explain that last tune.
So that last tune was a ditty by Christiane Noel. She's a Broadway diva. She's a Tony-nominated Broadway diva. She's coming to town on Friday to perform for the VSO for their Century of Broadway concert, and we're covering. We will be going to that show, and we have tickets to give away for that show later.
No.
Yes.
Free tickets?
Free tickets.
Really? Let's see. So we have free tickets for what on these next 3 hours of Queer FM?
We have three sets of giveaways. I believe we have, again, Century of Broadway 2 at the VSO, and you actually have a choice of which night you want to go. So
really?
Not only will you call in with your name, tell us which night you want to go. There's two. There's Friday and Saturday. We're going to be giving away tickets to Riverdance.
Riverdance.
So that's for opening night, which is this Tuesday. And we'll also be giving away tickets to Sin City, the Carnival of Sin Act 1, which
Aiden, Samantha Mack will be.
Yeah, where Samantha will be.
And Sienna Blaze.
Sienna Blaze and Aiden Saint and Filipina Colada.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be there.
So
you better be there too. And what better way than to get free tickets from Queer FM?
Absolutely.
Now hang on, I'm putting out the tweet right now. So what are we giving away tickets to?
Oh, we're tweetering.
Yeah.
Oh, I should probably do that too.
And you can check out queerradiovancouver.com for all of your things Queer FM. You can find our Twitter page, our Facebook page, our Vimeo page, our YouTube page, our friggin' blogger.
Everything.
And you can email us.
Everything.
It links to everything.
Today's
MySpace,
show is about everything.
That's so yesterday.
Yeah, seriously. I was actually talking about MySpace with somebody.
Yeah. Who knew? Remember Facebook?
Yes. Yeah. So before we get lost here, you can go to www.queerradiovancouver.com. That's www.queerradiovancouver.com. And you can check out our updated website. We have some, you know, stat pictures. We have links from all previous shows. We have all kinds of fun stuff. So, yeah.
Check and it podcast? Out.
And podcasts, of course.
Wicked.
We actually have new updated podcasts now, which have video attached to it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. You can actually see us now. Yeah. Scary.
Well, I don't know. For the three of you, it's not so scary. For me, sometimes I'm looking a little rough. So,
well, we also need a little rough thing.
Oh, now. Oh, yeah.
I like it. You know, it can be nice.
Explain this
rough
music that we heard, because it was kind of a little bit down tempo.
Sorry, what?
I totally ignored you, okay? Who are you again? Security.
Security.
Jeez.
Can I get some security in here?
Don't make me come over there.
I'm already here.
Hi.
And C. Blaze was killed yesterday at CITR Studios and was smothered to death by Samantha Mack's breasts.
Yes. That piece that we just listened to. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's her name again?
Okay, so the name, her name is Christiane Noel. She's one of my personal favorite Broadway divas. And that song was from one of my personal favorite albums, her first solo album called A Broadway Love Story, in that she covers a bunch of Broadway show tunes, most of them having to do with love. And it's cool because she kind of weaves it together. So she's kind of like a frustrated, you know, like a young girl kind of going through like the steps of being in a relationship, and it's really cute.
That's right, and she's performed at the Tony Awards too.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't remember exactly what year, but I remember seeing her on the Tony Awards, and she looked amazing.
Yeah. Last year she performed for Ragtime.
That's
she
right,
was Mother.
Thank you. Yes,
which,
the mother.
Which, and I think we'll be playing a bit of that today. And she was also, she first got noticed when she originated one of the roles for Jekyll and Hyde the musical. She was Emma.
Emma, that's right. Yeah. I remember seeing that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Look at us. Musical theater geeks.
Yeah, Broadway geeks.
Oh,
yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, and she, you know, she's really versatile. She does operatic, she does jazz. She,
Yeah, she's one of those voices that, you know, that's going to be able to change no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Lea Michele. Like, she can change her voice from an operatic to Broadway to jazz to pop
to
whatever,
to
right?
Rock or whatever, whatever you want.
Yeah, so it's a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm in the control room. I'm hearing this song, and the song is playing, and it's playing, and it's playing. I'm looking around. I'm the engineer, yeah. So I'm going, "What am I doing wrong?
Oops.
What am I doing wrong?"
And it's because there's nerds on staff, and nerds—they're
playing YouTube.
Nerds have YouTube
nerds are
stuff
cute.
Going in the background.
Oh well,
I'm about to lose my damn mind here.
No, you're not. It's all good.
So. So tell me a bit about now, you know, I think you undersold a couple of things here, Justin, and I needed to point this out. One thing is she a personal favorite of yours? You said that three times.
Yeah, she's a
and
yeah.
I remember, I it was not exactly a great week for us. We were both a little bit ill. And so I remember coming, you know, walking somewhere in our apartment, and Justin came bouncing. Oh. Bouncing, jumping up and down, clapping, just bouncing and vibrating. I mean, I think he may have disrupted local gravity. He was bouncing so quickly.
There might have been some flotation.
And, and he says, "I got the interview." So this interview is on Friday.
Yes, I will be talking to Christiane Noel herself on Friday. That'll be right before the VSO concert.
How exciting.
And, yeah, we're going to be chatting with her about, you know, her Broadway life. She recently had a child, and yeah.
Really?
Which is really exciting. And now she doesn't really have anything Broadway right now. I think she has an album coming out, and she's doing a lot of touring. She's part of the Three Divas.
Oh,
yeah, she's
really?
She's one of the Three Divas.
Nice. The Three Divas are like, I don't remember the other two names. Wow, I'm really spacing out today. Sorry, people.
She's, of the Three Divas, like, she was like, she's the only one I'd go, for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they tour around all over North America, even around the world.
They were here last year.
Yeah, they were here last year, and they did this amazing show at the Orpheum as well. So,
yeah.
I don't remember their names.
Yeah, but, so we're going to be chatting with her, and then we're going to see her perform.
How
it's
going to
be very fun. Yeah. And so for the VSO concert, they're going to be doing a bunch of more classic. more really familiar stuff, and so they're going to be doing a bit of Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they're going to be doing some older stuff. I think they're doing Music Man.
Oh, this is the one that I saw in the Georgia Strait. It's they're doing a night of full-on musicals.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so pretty much. So, if you want tickets for that, listen in, because we're going to be giving them away later in the show.
Yay!
And I just pulled up the list. So they're doing Brigadoon. They're doing My Fair Lady, Music Man, Guys and Dolls. They're doing Sondheim. So doing A Little Night Music. Mm. They're doing Les Miserables.
Lovely.
And then they're ending it with a bunch of songs from Phantom of the Opera. The popular Phantom. And, you know, Christiane, her voice is perfect for Christine.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
A night out. Mm-hmm. Well, so we're going to be giving tickets away for that probably right around 5:30. And we also have another show.
Yes,
and there's going to be some performance art.
Oh, geez,
that's going to take place.
Yeah, okay. I got the challenge up. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so the challenge was to go and interview some of the dancers and cast of Riverdance.
Some of the principal dancers.
Yeah, and not only the lead dancers.
Yeah, the lead dancers of Riverdance are going to teach Clement C. Blaze and lovely Justin some Riverdance. Irish dancing moves.
Irish dancing move, which is going to be really exciting because my background in dance is more of the contemporary, modern, lyrical, hip-hop era. So I don't really... I've done tap before, but it's not really tap dancing. Yeah. But they do have some American tap dancers in the show and some flamenco dancers, but the main show is based on Irish dancing, which is kind of exciting. So I'm really excited...
Yeah,
and
I'm
going to be
jealous.
Oh, it's going
to. Well, you can always come along. It's going to be 8:45 in the morning.
8:45 in the morning.
Yeah, it's just really, really early. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And my friend Joe, who's another dancer, he's going to be there too. So
this might be fun.
Yeah, there's going to be video. It'll be all over YouTube and
all our Facebook page. Because I'm actually Irish.
Yeah, it's true. Samantha Mack's actually Irish, and I'm not. I am Asian.
You're actually
Asian. Oh yeah, we have
part Asian.
Yeah, we have the two Asians and the two Irish.
Hey, there we go. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we got an even split.
I think Aiden and I should challenge you to the Irish dance off.
Oh, this
Irish
could be really
dance off.
Never mind. I've seen you do
morning.
That Kinect game. No.
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 I'll be one.
Yeah, I look like a martial arts instructor trying to dance. It's really, really, yeah.
Awkward?
It's really
rigid.
Wooden. Very rigid. Yeah.
Rigid.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm. Which would be good for Riverdance, actually.
Yeah, because, you know, they dance without moving
their
arms.
It's true.
Yeah, so, oh well. Yeah.
But, so, tell us about Riverdance, the show.
Riverdance, so, yeah.
Okay, so, I don't have my notes on me. I'm clearly
Riverdance, so, you know, Riverdance, it's Irish dancing. It was popular, what's his name?
Michael Flatley.
The king of Irish dancing.
King of the dance. Yes.
The lord of the dance.
Lord of the dance. And, lord, king, a minor official, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it started in 95 or 90, no, 97, sorry.
Oh.
Was it 97?
Okay, so I'm looking it up.
Oh, and they started making...
It originated as an interval performance during the 1994 Eurovision Song Contest. It's a Eurovision thing.
Yeah, so basically what happened was they were watched over 300 million people in Europe, and it was only supposed to be a 7-minute little thing that they showed, and Eurovision is basically a bunch of artists from all over Europe that showcases their specific art. And Michael Flatley and a bunch of other Irish dancers.
Jean Butler was the other.
Jean Butler.
She was the female lead, and Michael Flatley was the male lead.
Yeah, and so basically what they did was they created the 7-minute piece, and it was watched by over 300 million people all over Europe, and it became such a huge phenomenon that they've created a 2-hour show, a touring show. And remember, this has been going on since 94.
94, yeah.
So it's... It's been a while.
and they do have quite a number of song and dance numbers, because the original Riverdance had 19 songs in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, you know...
That's a lot.
As an original piece, it's pretty significant. And that's a lot of choreography, a lot of... And considering how many dancers they have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see it. This is at the Queen Elizabeth Theater, and amazing, amazing venue, first off. But I really want to know how they're going to... change this up and do a little something more for it.
Yeah, and you're actually going to see a pretty monumental show, because it's the they're basically ending the original run.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you're going to see its closure. So this is going to be one of the, you know,
last times for the shows, original shows. Oh, how sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm excited. I don't know where my tap shoes are. I kind of want to bring my tap shoes. But did you know, little trivia here, they don't use, the kids in traditional tap shoes, they do have metal taps that are nailed into the bottom of your soles, mm-hmm. but they actually use fiberglass.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? It's a stronger tap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a stronger tap, and in you don't have that loose click from your taps. So it's just a little stronger. We all like a little something stronger.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, it's a fun show today. It's a packed show.
Yeah. So we have those two events going on, and we saw 1984.
Yes.
Last Friday.
Yes, it was 1984.
We're going to step aside for just a quick second and come back and talk about 1984. It was a great show, and it's still going on?
It's still going, yes. It's still going at the Cult. Tickets, we saw opening night, and even at opening night, tickets were almost sold out. So if you want tickets, go buy them like right now, because you might not be able to get any.
Yeah, they're almost sold out, aren't they?
So we got to step aside for just a second, but this is Queer FM Arts Extra on CITR 101.9 FM.
It's tons of fun.
It's tons of fun. There's going to be tickets, folks. 15 more minutes.
Yes.
Just saying.
15.
And Dunkin' Donuts each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
And we're back here on Queer FM Arts Extra. Samantha Mack was doing something over there. Yeah. There was some shaking.
She was telling us of her friend's Riverdance story. Do you want to share it again, Samantha?
All right. So last night, my friend was telling me how he went to go see Riverdance in New York years ago, but he got discounted seats, and he didn't know why these seats right in the middle of the auditorium would be so cheap. What he did realize is that the entire row in front of him had been sold to a basketball team, so he couldn't see over any of their heads. So all he got to see was the performers on stage from the waist up. And let's face it, Irish dancing is not really known for its dramatic movements from the waist up. So it's all he saw...
waist down.
It's all from the waist down, just like my bedroom.
Zing! Buzzing.
Snap! No, but it was funny, though, because all you see is these men and women, like, vaguely hovering and shaking just ever so slightly and dripping in sweat.
And
not much
no
of a show.
Facial expression. Yeah. If it is, it's hardly breathing.
Not much of a show.
No.
So make sure you get the good seats in front of the basketball team. That's all I gotta say.
Okay. Words of wisdom from Samantha Mack and the jiggling upper torsos of Irish dancers. So we gotta get you in here to talk. She's smiling from ear to ear. It's like, yeah, I just got one in there. We gotta hear a report about your crazy, crazy weekend last weekend, because we didn't get to talk about that.
Oh, we get to talk about Taboo?
Yeah.
Yet again.
Yeah. Yes. So the thing that we wanted to mention, though, was 1984. 1984 was an amazing performance, and if you get a chance to go see a work that you think, it's too depressing. No, it was actually a really great romantic piece. Both halves of the production were, well, emotionally really different, wouldn't you say?
The first half is quite long. It sets up the scene. You know, the set designers and the lighting designers really created the feel of 1984 really well, and we talked with the set designer for an interview. The interview can be seen on YouTube. He said it was quite fascinating how it took this long to be able to recreate what George Orwell envisioned for the stage. And you know, they have multiple flat screen TVs all over the stage. They have an amazing, like, they have a full cast of about 20, mostly students from Langara College. And the first half is kind of a love story. It's, you know, it's forbidden love, you know, without delving too much into it. And then the second half gets significantly darker, and the culture is it's quite a big venue, but it's also very
intimate.
Thank you. And it's Aiden and I were really close to the front, so we were really close to all the action.
Really close.
Like really close, like almost uncomfortably so. And you know, it was such the acting was just so well done that you know I could sense a lot of the people around me kind of squirming in their seats because you know the acting and the drama was just so real. And, yeah.
Well, and what was interesting about it was that it set the scene really well. You had dancers and performers that were not only doing the portions of the story that they were supposed to perform, but they integrated it with an audiovisual presentation to create some of the things that you would see in regards to like propaganda on the screen. And they had actual actors and actresses that were playing those roles.
Yes.
So instead of just seeing something on a video screen, they'd actually enact it for you right there on the stage while the principal cast were, you know, getting into ready for the next mm-hmm. scene or whatever. So the flow and the energy of this particular piece was nonstop.
Yeah, and they actually had planned it so well. There is never a lull. Like even if there's like a big monologue or a big dialogue, say like a 10-minute dialogue between only two characters, there's always another character to help fill in the blank spaces, so it never gets dull. And the pacing was done really well. And they do one really cool thing, which I find really cool, is they get a live feed from a camera and they project what's going on stage and they show it on the screen.
Which, you know, you see this on television all the time. Yeah. You'll see, especially if they're recording like an interview on, you know, Law and Order, or they're doing something on Fringe and they have a video camera set up. And then you see, so you're not looking directly at it. You actually see it on the video camera. It was hard for me to not look at the video screen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like going to the ballpark and then, you know, the instant replay screen is above me. It's like I keep looking up. It's like, no, the field is right there. Look
at
the field.
I want to look right there.
Yeah. Then they did something, Justin and I were discussing this. They do something in books and especially in poetry for poetry slams. It's called The Turn. They had a break that was a little longer because of a small glitch. Mm-hmm. And then... well, then it got dark, and that's when people started squirming and going, wow, this was kind of a cool little love story, this illicit love affair, and now, well, the state has stepped in. And what was really, really striking about it was that everything that they showed on the stage, on the screens, everything exists today.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And you're just... it's kind of dawning on me. It's like, wow, yeah, maybe not the mustachioed Stalin character, you know, but even the way they transitioned without giving anything away. The story is this this nation state is at war with another. And right during one of their song casts or newscast things, mm-hmm. the guy's on the stage, you know, riling against this enemy. They switch.
Yeah, yeah.
And go on to the next. And no, they don't miss a beat. And it was just amazing because you look at our own media and there's always some new bad person, you know, some new nation rogue thing and, you know, the cause is joined. And it was really kind of amazing in that. Well, let's see. Well, that was a bummer. It really is a great, great show. Check out the YouTube video. The set itself is 2.5 stories high. They had to build it in sections and then put it together for the first time inside the Kulch.
It's the largest set ever to be put into the Kulch. And again, it's really impressive. They have moving platforms and they have multiple flat screens all over. And so, yeah, it's... and again, the cast, I'd see it as well for the cast because most of the kids in the show... well, I shouldn't say kids. Most of them are older than I am. most of the actors in the show are from Studio 58, and I have to say, you know, they didn't miss a beat. You know, most of them were on it, especially the principal actors. You wouldn't think you were watching a quote-unquote student film, and Studio 58 is renowned for producing really good actors, and you do see a lot of their names in, you know, in big productions around Vancouver. So, yeah,
go well, see something the budding, that was,
budding talent.
Something that was pretty amazing is the lead actress is actually a student.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And so they had the only two union actors were the two principal male leads. The woman was a student.
Yeah.
And just knocked it out of the park. Oh, be warned, there is nudity. There
from
will be
the
nudity.
Actors?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. There will be nudity. There will be some other scenes that if you're allergic to nudity or you don't look at yourself in the mirror at all without your clothes on.
Yeah, and this wasn't like hair. I did hair in August, and, you know, I was nude in front of 200 people every night. But you couldn't see anything. Not that kind of show. No. You see everything.
Yeah. So just a warning. There's male nudity. There's female nudity. Just a warning. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to step aside, do a little bit more radio business, a little message, and come right back with some more here at Queer FM Arts Extra. We'll be right back.
The AIDS Vancouver helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
Okay, we're back. I'm trying to get programming notes from the other hosts, and it's like, okay, well, missed that opportunity.
Oops.
So we're going to play a little something, something that's near and dear to my heart since I was very young, was a BBC production, one of the longest-running science fiction serials in history.
Gee, I wonder what show that is.
Yeah, so anyway, try to guess, and then we're going to play a little bit of music after that. Right in between here and the music, we'll talk to you. We may have a giveaway. All right. So let's see what we have here. See if you can guess this one.
The Doctor's darkest hour. He'll rise higher than ever before, and then fall so much further.
This is the day he finds out who I am.
Hey, bye, bye, gum.
Okay. Where are we?
Where we've never ever been.
Look how cool this stuff is.
Fear me. I've killed hundreds of Time Lords.
Fear me. I've killed all of them.
Doctor Who, coming soon to BBC One and BBC One HD.
Actually, coming sooner than you think. It's coming the 26th of April.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I kind of gave it away. We played the tag. But it's a very geeky thing. It's been on the air since the 1960s, actually 1950s. It was one of the first sci-fi era serials ever produced. And if you go back and you look at some of the black and white versions, they're really cheesy.
Just
tremendously cheesy. I mean, oh
yeah, they're the first few episodes for the really, really the first series. You know, you'd have about like a minute of a girl running a girl's face, and she'd be running. And that was it. Yeah, it's not something you'd watch. So
no.
Well, and they've done so much with the special effects now. BBC has really stepped up, and they're also talking about the spinoff to this. There's two spinoffs of Doctor Who. One is the Torchwood series, which has one of the hottest actors. Period.
John Barrowman?
Yes.
No.
I had this calendar 2 years in a row.
And he's actually one of the only actively bisexual characters in all of television.
Well, they describe him as being omnisexual.
Omnisexual. Yes.
He's beyond pansexual because, you know, even if you're an alien, he'll do you.
Really?
No, it's true.
It's true.
Samantha, did you hear that?
Samantha's, huh?
Apparently, there's a character that's going to do anything. anything that walks.
John Barrowman is a really great actor and extremely pretty, very handsome, stunningly so.
Mm-hmm. Way too pretty for my liking, actually. He's just like, he's intimidating.
Oh, he's so gorgeous and he's so bubbly.
We've got to stop this whole look. yeah, Clement is like really, really attractive, and then does boy and girl like amazingly so.
Like it's smoking hot, Clement C. Blaze.
And then says, "Oh, well, he's just too attractive." Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. All right, so if you're calling the radio station right now asking for tickets, you're too early. Stop it right now.
I told them.
Yeah, seriously.
All right.
We got to announce it first.
We have to announce it first.
So what we're going to do is we're going to give away a pair of tickets. What are we giving away?
We are giving away a pair of tickets to the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra's Century of Broadway 2. That's with Christiane Knoll.
How exciting.
Yeah. How exciting. Do we have a clip or audio file?
I've got Rhythm, 24 Hours of Lovin', and Four Work and Nothing. Your Work or Nothing.
Okay, so so I've Got Rhythm is a jazz number that's really fast. 24 Hours of Loving. Don't even need to explain that one. It's from Best Whorehouse in Texas. And
we've got to play that.
And then the other one's an operatic piece from Jekyll and Hyde, which is where Christiane Knoll got her start. She has an amazing... It's a quartet piece that they do in Act 1. She does an amazing belt in that piece. So yeah. So we're going to play those pieces while you guys call in. And so for the people calling in, answer the following question. Which 1997 Gothic musical did Christiane Knoll star in?
Did you get that? Which Gothic musical did Christiane Knoll star in 1997?
Yeah, that got her start. And here's a hint. We kind of talked about it earlier in the show, and it's, it's not Dracula, but it's kind of close.
All right. Well,
it's a bit two-faced.
All right. So here we are, CITR 101.9 FM. Queer FM Arts Extra.
Something's wrong. I see a change. It's like when hope dies. I who have known you for so long, I see the pain in your eyes. There was a time in your life, no one lived the way that you did. You had a plan, chose a wife, saw your world as very fitted. You had it all. You've not heard a single word I've said. My fear is he's in over his head. He could lose control, and that I dread. There has been talk, they say he's gone too far. He's locked himself away in his own world, pursuing this insanity.
It is his work.
It's more than work. He is obsessed. The man is driven.
Just give him time, I ask no more. His work's a crime.
Something strange.
Just give him
unless
time.
I'm blind,
I ask no more.
Change of a bizarre kind.
Is it not at all?
He's chasing dreams he'll never
the
find.
The problem's all in your mind.
He has his work. He said nothing more. He's obsessed.
Oh,
Bringing in some hotness. That was a little number from the best little whorehouse in Texas.
Yeah, you almost sounded almost.
A little.
Okay, a little bit.
Maybe not.
And work. She's working on it.
She is working on it.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Yeah, you sound more Jersey Shore.
Oh, no. Oh. I really do need to work on it.
Okay, so speaking of Jersey Shore, I got a little bit of entertainment stuff.
I can't believe this happened.
Snooki. Snooki is getting $32,000 to talk the GTL at Rutgers University this year. $32,000, okay? And here's the weird part. There's a Nobel laureate. A Nobel laureate is getting paid half that at a nearby university for the same amount of time. So they're giving her for the GTL and the GTL. Now, I had to look this up because I
Gym 10 Laundry.
Yeah.
Okay, clearly I'm the only one who watches that.
So I just kind of went, wow, you go, Snooki, but you better be saving some of that money because you're going to be, you know.
Yeah, the most
you guys have, they have one more season left, and they're going to Italy, so.
And they're all going to Italy, so they can actually, you know, see real Italian culture.
Yeah, real Italian culture, and they're probably going to be like, that's not how we are.
Yeah.
That's not how we act. How dare you?
The most I've seen, I haven't actually seen any actual footage of Snooki. The most I've seen is the SNL version.
Oh, yeah. See, I've watched. I'm going to admit it now. Jersey Shore is my guilty pleasure.
Oh, well, do you know what mine is?
What's yours?
Oh, hey, get off. Jeez. He's just looking at me like, oh, yeah, well.
What is yours?
Mine is actually coming back onto the air, and it is WWE Tough Enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is actually really entertaining to watch.
Well, it really is. WWE had these two reality TV shows called Tough Enough and Tough Enough 2. They were on MTV, and they were amazing. They didn't have a ton of the... They'd have some of the WWE talent come and put in, like, little appearances. You know, Rick... Foley would show up and he would do the hardcore thing, and then you know Triple H would show up and so on and so forth. Well, this year they're redoing it a little because reality TV is so easy to produce.
So easy.
Mm-hmm. And it just draws people in. Well, this year it's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No,
oh, no way.
Not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin actually has Miss USA is competing with the wrestlers.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. And it's just, oh. And apparently, she's a badass.
Apparently.
Huh. Well.
Aren't they all? Like, wasn't not this, well, a couple years ago, one of them was found, like, drinking underage or something like that?
No, I don't know about all that. But anybody.
Was
anybody,
found. Yeah, she was the only one that, you know, was actually.
And Donald Trump gave her a second chance.
Oh, right. Oh. The one with the anti-gay comments. Yeah, she was the. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all I have to say is, hey, you know, get ready because WWE's Tough Enough is coming. It's really worth a look. And, you know, I don't know. There's some great shenanigans on there. Some great pranks, some great challenges. You got to check it out.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got a number of other things going on besides Snooki. There were a whole bunch of April Fool gags on the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, and we recorded a few of them. One of them from Pop Watch and Entertainment Weekly was Jar Jar Binks beaten up on subway train.
Yay!
Oh, no.
Another one that I thought was a prank, actually wasn't. A woman gets drag queen facelift, according to The Advocate. A woman actually got, we did not see a before picture, but she got cheekbones and just a whole bunch of the surgeries that some of the drag queens
like
do.
Like cheek enhancements and brow lifts and everything.
The whole thing.
Okay, honey, there's called makeup. Look at my pictures. It's all good.
Well, anyway, so it was pretty amazing to watch. And there's a ton of other things that we put.
One of the one of my favorites was from local company Fighting Chance Productions. They released their quote unquote season for the year, and it was all Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals. And I was
Shut
like,
up, really?
No. But they started it with like By Jeeves, which was Andrew Lloyd Webber's like big flop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then they ended it with Evita. I know everyone was going like, oh my god, Evita. But I'm like,
that's
Brian, are you seriously doing a year of Andrew Lloyd Webber? And of course he wasn't, but he got so many people excited. And then, I still think it's pretty funny.
One of my favorite things that I saw for April Fool's gag was from Google. I don't know if you saw this one. They said that for your Google, your Gmail account, you can easily write emails with just doing motions because, you know, like sitting at a computer so rigid and typing is so unnatural for a human. They've created this simulator for that reads that you put you take your camera, your web camera from your laptop or your computer and you write emails with your hands and stuff like that just by using certain motions. Like if you want to open up a mail, you pretend that you're opening up a letter.
Yeah, so stupid.
And I was like, I was watching this like 2 days, like, no, I was watching it yesterday, not on April Fool's, but I was just like, that's awkward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
they also released IGN released a trailer for a new Harry Potter TV show called The Aurors, and it was just going to be this like gritty, you know, post Harry Potter book series crime drama, and I'm just like, no. No.
Does not work for me.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, there was a number of other things going on. Did you know that this week Twitter became officially 5 years old?
Yay!
Oh, happy birthday, Twitter.
And happy birthday, Twitter.
Here are some of the top tweets. There's 21 of them. You can go out to the Huffington Post and check it out. But there's a few of them. Clarence House announced this. The Prince of Wales is delighted to announce the engagement of Prince William to Ms. Catherine Middleton at www.princeofwales.gov.uk. That was the official royal wedding announced on Twitter.
Wow.
All right, nothing? Nothing? Okay.
No.
Someone named High Fours wrote, I just watched a plane crash into the Hudson River in Manhattan. It was when that plane landed.
Oh, right, when it lighted because of engine failure.
Mm-hmm. Someone spoofed BP during the Gulf spill. They spoofed them at a Twitter account called BP Global PR and wrote this, catastrophe is a strong word. Let's all agree to call it a whoopsie-daisy.
A whoopsie-daisy.
Yep.
Because it kind of, like, softened things up.
Yes. Oh, Charlie Sheen comes in at number 15 with winning.
Winning!
Choose your vice. And there's, there's him holding. Oh.
Winning!
My goodness, he's winning. Oh, and he sent this first tweet after setting the record for reaching 1 million followers in the shortest amount of time in history, five years.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Let's see. WikiLeaks. A lot of things actually get... Twitter has become a news source and a political platform, as as evidenced with Sarah Palin.
Yeah, and Lady Gaga actually managed to get someone elected because of Twitter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So WikiLeaks put this. WikiLeaks servers at Amazon ousted free speech, the land of the free, fine. Our dollars are spent to employ people in Europe. When this happened, the whistleblowing website was taken offline by Amazon.com. Kevin Smith, you know, that Kevin Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith writes, dear at Southwest Air, I know I'm fat, but was Captain Leeseth really justified in throwing me off a flight for which I'd already been seated? He was rather indignant. Kevin Smith created a PR nightmare for Southwest Airlines after he was booted from a flight for being too big.
Are you serious?
Serious.
Yeah, Kevin Smith, are you kidding me?
the 20 billionth tweet was, wow,
something in
Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay, user
no
in Japan.
Translation.
There's no translation. Oh, Senator John McCain actually reached out to Snooki from Jersey Shore about the tanning tax. There was such a thing proposed. Snooki, you were right. I would never tax your tanning bed. President Obama's tax and spend policy is quite the situation.
Oh, jeez.
But I do I do recommend wearing sunscreen.
Okay, sorry. You know, that just does not sound right.
Kanye West apologizes to Taylor Swift for the incident at the MTV Music Awards, and it simply reads, I'm sorry, Taylor, period.
Yeah, you know what, Kanye? That what you did was absolutely rude, and he was drinking on the red carpet the whole time. He was wasted.
But did it not throw her career into overdrive?
Oh, it did. I mean, she went on Saturday Night Live and just cleaned up.
Oh, that was awesome.
And she went on as like this pure, sweet, innocent girl. She didn't have to get all trashy, Christina Aguilera did, or Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. She gets to be innocent and sweet, and now has a great career. So thank you, Kanye.
Thank you, Conway. We still think you're a douchebag, but that's okay.
Winning.
Winning. So the words repudiate, misunderestimate, and wee-weed up English, in quotes, English is a living language. Shakespeare liked it to coin, liked to coin new words too. Got to celebrate it. And that, of course, was Sarah Palin, USA. That's right. She coined the new term refudiate after posting a tweet that read, Ground Zero Mosque supporters, doesn't it stab you in the heart as it does ours throughout the heartland? Peaceful Muslims, please refudiate.
Refudiate.
She defended the word in a subsequent tweet shown here. The new Oxford American Dictionary even picked refudiate as the word of the year.
Hmm.
She created a new word by using Twitter.
Barf.
Google just, its first tweet was in binary, zeros and ones. Let's see. The world's oldest Twitterer passed away July 2010 at 104. And the last Twitter, the last tweet from her account was, Ivy passed away peacefully at 12:08 this morning.
Oh.
104 years old. Wow. 104 and you're Twittering.
That's amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
It's called tweeting, Twittering.
Oh, okay. It's tweeting. I've been schooled tweeting. Let's see. Ashton,
hey, you just made a new word.
What?
You could tweet that.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be quite as famous as refudiate. I really don't. Ashton Kutcher became the first person to reach a million followers following a face-off with CNN.
Oh, yes, I remember.
And he tweeted, victory is ours. Let's see. Harvey Levin broke the news of Michael Jackson's death on Twitter. We just got word that Michael Jackson has died in a link. That's number four. Number three, of the top three Twitters of all time, Barack Obama, we just made history. All of this happened because you gave your time, talent, and passion. All this happened because of you. Thanks. President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Number two was astronaut T.J. Creamer made history with the first tweet from space. Hello, Tweeterverse. We are now live tweeting from the International Space Station. This is the first live tweet from space.
That's pretty cool.
And number one, the first tweet ever sent by a human, the very first post to Twitter, was an automated message that read simply, inviting coworkers.
Huh.
Just setting up my Twitter.
Really?
That was number one. So there you go. It was from @Jack Dorsey. So... All right, so we have one more bit to play, and you know what? We're going to give away another pair of tickets to Riverdance. This is our tickets for Riverdance. Well, should we?
Let's do it in 3.5 minutes.
3.5 minutes?
I just told everybody on Twitter and on Facebook Foursquare that they should wait until 5:55 to call in.
Then we will stick to that.
What number should they call?
They should call 604-822-2487. And that's here in CITR control room, and you'll get one of us. We'll answer the phone. And is there a message, or are we just
or a question?
Can we ask them a mathematical question?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Let's not do a mathematical.
Oh my goodness! I did trivia the other night. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that was actually written for me to say was, "Is it true or false? Are 50% of blah 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 blah?" I'm like, "Well, if it's 50%, does it matter if it's true or false? Because 50% will be true and 50% will be false."
It's so true.
Oh, well, that's true.
Or it could be false.
According to my paperwork, is the answer true or false? Are 50%? Oh, it was 50% of women have one breast larger than the other. That was the question.
That is true.
Or 50% could be false.
That is true.
Exactly.
So is it true or false?
Either answer is correct.
See?
Well, then I think that should be our question of the day to win the tickets. Is it true or false? 50% of women in the world have one breast larger than the other. True or false?
And that was brought to you by Samantha Mack. You can send your complaints and comments to us here.
You know what's funny, though? They write me these questions for Trivia Night every Wednesday at Smiley's when I host the Trivia Night Club show or the drinking game show. And these are the intelligent questions we've come up with.
It happens. It's true.
Well,
and it's funny.
Something really funny that happened this week was, now, have all of you heard that song Friday?
Friday.
Okay. Yeah, I got sent that one time, and I nearly did a spit take on my screen because I couldn't believe. It's like, wow, so you have a pretty girl in a video, and you make a song that is not her voice really at all. It's completely auto-tuned, and it's the most insipidly poppy song I've ever heard. So, there was a challenge, however. There was a challenge between Jimmy Fallon and late night talk show host Stephen Colbert, and it was who could raise the most charity funds. Well, Stephen lost, and he came on air on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and sang Friday with the Roots backup band, and he had a Yeti, he had a dance troupe, he had a guy holding one of those square code symbol things. It was pretty stunning. So we're gonna play a little bit of that, and play a little bit more Christiane Noel, and we're getting close to our mark.
Yeah, so it's
they have 60 seconds.
So there's on my official clock.
What was the question again?
Is it true or false?
Is it true or false?
So in about 20 seconds.
Holding one breast larger than the other.
Oh my goodness! It always comes back to breasts, and it's always like breasts or dick jokes. It's one of the other.
30 seconds.
It happens.
Yeah.
And what's the phone number?
The phone number to call us here is 604-822-2487.
That's 604-822-2487.
And they're already calling, and we're not even there yet. So we're going to go ahead and kick this off.
25 seconds.
And, wow. It's like I can't even...
Play a song.
Yeah, I just need to play this song.
It.
Here we go. This is Friday from Stephen Colbert. I think.
Is it going to play? Oh.
It's connecting. Oh, it's connecting.
There we go.
Here we go.
You've been waiting for. You ready? Performing with the legendary Roots crew, singing Friday. Please help me welcome Stephen Colbert.
Waking up in the morning, gotta be fresh, gotta go downstairs, gotta have my bowl, gotta have my cereal, seeing everything time is a-going, ticking on and on, everybody's rushing, gotta get down to the bus stop. Gotta catch my bus. I see my friend. Picking in the front seat, sitting in the back seat. Gotta make my mind up. Which seat can I take? It's Friday, Friday. No one down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Party, partying,
yeah!
Party, partying,
yeah!
Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
So chilling in the back seat, in the front seat. I'm driving, cruising, fast lanes, switching lanes. With a car off on my side, woo! Passing by in the school bus, in front of me. Makes TikTok, TikTok, what a scream. Take the time, it's Friday. It's a weekend, we're gonna have fun.
Yesterday was Thursday, Thursday. Today, yeah, it's Friday, Friday. We so excited. We so excited. We gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday. And Sunday comes after work.
Ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Hicks!
And that was... They had a Yeti, they had a beekeeper, they had...
Taylor Hicks.
And
they had cheerleaders.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah. So this wraps up. We gave away two pairs of tickets to two different shows, and we had lots of people call, so thank you. But don't give up, because at 6:30 during Queer FM, we are going to give away another pair of tickets. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to Sin City Carnival of Sin Part 1. I'm sorry.
I lied. I just told them that at 6:30 we were giving away the other two tickets to.
We already did that.
Oh, yeah. I thought we had Friday and Saturday tickets.
Oh, no. So for the VSO one, the person had the choice of Friday or Saturday.
I just lied to whoever was on the phone. Oh.